We've got a good crowd here today, and we're thankful for that. We've got several who are visiting, and of those who are visiting, there are many who are very, very familiar to us, and we're glad that you're able to be here, and we appreciate it. We hope that everybody has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Kathleen and I are heading out right after services this morning, and she says to fire it up. She said, don't you dare hang around forever. So we're going to be hitting the road quickly, I promise you, and hope that all goes well with you this week. For those of us who are Christians, there is no surprise whatever for us to look out into the world and see that there is evil to be found in it. John writes in his first letter, 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. There are two things that make for evil in our society. Number one, the presence of an individual known as the evil one, Satan, the devil. My friends, it is his duty, as far as he is concerned, to go about and tempt and entice as many individuals as he possibly can to do that which is evil in the sight of God. But there is a second component of that, and that is man's yielding to Satan's temptations. Satan can tempt, Satan can entice all that he desires. But unless man yields to him, there will be no evil committed. It's when you and I and others decide that I'm going to yield to Satan that evil is going to be produced. The Bible says that when my fleshly lusts go to bed with Satan's enticements, then sin is conceived. James 1, 13 through 15. Yes, when you and I look at the world, we are not surprised by the evil that dwells in it. What does surprise me, what does astound me, is how quickly evil can bring to pass its bidding and its doing, can it? We saw evidence of that just a little over a week ago in a little town in Connecticut, didn't we? One lone gunman enters into a school, and minutes later, 28 lifeless bodies are found in the hall of a school. My friends, that is just the beginning of the evil in our society, isn't it? 800,000. That's a huge number, isn't it? That's 2,185 children are abducted in the United States of America on a daily basis. 2,185 are kidnapped on a daily basis in the United States. 1.3 million. Babies are aborted in the United States of America on a yearly basis alone. And it just continues and continues, doesn't it? I am not astounded by the evil, but I am astounded at how easily evil has access to all individuals in our society, including the most innocent of all individuals, children. And the question that I ask is this: why? How? How can evil run so rampant in a nation that you and I consider to be the greatest nation upon the face of this world? How does it happen? And there are answers. Answers, my friends, that some individuals just do not want to hear. But for the next few minutes, let's talk about the why. Why does evil have such an easy hand in our society? Number one, evil can run rampant in our nation because we have secularized our world. Look up the word secular sometimes. And here's what it means. Worldly, earthly, temporal. No association with that which is spiritual, with that which is holy, and with that which is sacred. Over the last 50 or 60 years, the United States of America has been doing everything it possibly can in order to secularize our society. We don't want it to have anything to do with anything that is religious and spiritual and scriptural in nature. We want it to be worldly. We want it to be carnal. We want it to be just as neuter from God as it possibly can. And there's tons of evidence about it, isn't there? Some of us were talking the other day in the foyer, and I remember when I was a child, when they started opening up businesses on Sunday. When I was a kid growing up, everything was shut down on Sundays. Why? Because that was the Lord's day. That was a holy day. That was a day when individuals went and they worshiped their Creator and their Redeemer. And they had respect for that. And then all of a sudden, they started opening. And they began by opening around 12 or 1 o'clock. And we close at 5. Well, guess what, folks? That's not the case anymore, is it? Almost everybody is open on Sundays now. And if you don't, you are ridiculed for it, aren't you? Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby, oh, they're closed on Sunday. It's like they're the most evil businesses upon the face of this planet. That's the way it used to be everywhere. Did you know that? No prayer in schools. No Bible in schools. Individuals fighting just as hard as they possibly can to remove those little words, "In God we trust," from our coinage in the United States of America. Individuals stand up to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and people go ballistic because they hear the words, "One nation under God." Religious leaders are laughed at, scoffed at, and mocked because they have biblical principles. Because they are religious individuals. In fact, what amazes me, it's very difficult for an individual who calls himself a Christian to even run for the presidency of the United States of America. Folks, that's sad, is it not? You see, we're doing everything we can to throw God out of our public system. No crosses. Folks, my father is buried in a federal cemetery in Memphis. And you want to know what they want to do? They want to take the crosses off the headstones. Because you see, that's public. That's associated with government. And we can't have the two mixing one with another. No nativity scenes anymore, anywhere, not on public property. No Ten Commandments, not on public property. Every vestige of God they are trying to remove from our society. And folks, that is dangerous business, is it not? I want you to listen to what our Lord said. "For out of the heart cometh evil speaking, murder, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Matthew 15:9 or 19. Jesus said, in the heart of man resides those kind of evils. Here's my question. What is it that removes those kind of evils from the hearts of men? What is it that is designed to purify the hearts of men? Folks, it's not the worldly, it's not the temporal, it's not the carnal. It's the spiritual things that are designed to do that. Listen to Peter in Acts 15, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Spiritual things. God, Christ, the Word of God. Those are the things that are designed to purify the hearts of men and women. And the very moment that a nation decides we don't need those things, we don't want those things, we are not going to have those things present in our society, my friends, the heart of man can only dwell upon evil at that time. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, out of the heart of man comes murders. That's where it comes from. Oh, Vic, you're just trying to paint a bleak picture. Folks, I haven't been on this planet very long. 53 years is all. And yet from the time that I was a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 15-year-old child, things are different today. This is not the same United States of America. It is different. And part of the difference is that we have secularized our nation. Well, there's no harm in that. You better read your Bible. You go home tonight and you contemplate Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, all the way through the end of the chapter. And here we find a society known as the Gentile society. And guess what they did? They removed God and every vestige of God from their society. Romans 1 verse 18 tells us that the truth to them became unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodly men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, there's a lot of individuals who believe that unrighteousness is truth. And that's exactly what the Gentiles did. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Here was a nation who at one time knew God, the Bible says. But guess what they refused to do? They refused to glorify Him as God. And they refused to give thanks to Him as God. You jump down to verse 28 and listen to what the text says. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We don't want anything about God showing up in this society. We want to remove God from our nation. And folks, they did exactly that. And guess what you see in Romans 1? You see the fruits and the results of doing that. I wish we had time just to stop and read the chapter, don't you? Number one, idolatry became the rule of the day. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Verses 23 through 25. Homosexuality and lesbianism ran rampant in that society. Verses 26 and 27. Verses 29 through 31, sin abounded like you cannot believe. In fact, in those three short verses, Paul lists 23 sins that those people engaged in. I find it interesting about two of them. Murder and without natural affection. You tell me what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Murder. That's what happened. And it's not the first time, is it? There have been about 6 cases of mass murder in the United States this year, folks. This year. How do you explain it? I'll tell you how you explain it. We don't have God in our nation anymore. without natural affection. I don't know about you, but when Kathleen came to me and she said, "Vic, I'm pregnant with a baby," I was elated. You know that? Couldn't wait to see that little thing pop out and hold those little things. You tell me how in the world a mother, knowing she has a baby inside of her, can walk into a clinic and say, "Kill this child." She has no natural affection. It's gone. Somewhere, she removed the knowledge of God from her life, folks. Now, that's our society today. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse, isn't it? Number two, how is it that evil can run so quickly and rampantly in our society because of the deterioration of the home? God has instituted three things upon this planet, hasn't He? Number one, the church. Number two, government. And number three, the home. Guess which one was first? The home. It's been instituted since the very dawn of creation itself, hasn't it? God ordained it, God established it, and guess what? God controlled it by means of divine law. I want you to think about the home. Is it the basic unit of society? Is it the most important element of society? Yes. Every man, woman, and child is born into a home of some sort, aren't they? From the time a little baby is born until the time it leaves the house, some 18 to 25 years, that child is receiving some kind of an education, some kind of teaching, some kind of an experience within the confines of a home of some sort. That child's worldview, that child's morality, that child's emotional well-being is all being developed within the confines of that little unit that we call the home, isn't it? And guess what? The poor home in the United States of America is not doing very well. Some individuals like to say, it's beginning to crumble. No, it's not beginning to crumble. It's been crumbling for a long time. I didn't want to forget anything, so I wrote some things down. Listen to this, folks. Abuse in houses. That is verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse. You want to know why I put that one first on the list? Because that's been going on a long time in our society. Did you know that? Even 50, 60, 70 years ago, back in what we call the good old days, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, guess what? There was a lot of abuse going on in some of those homes at that time. It's amazing what you hear. Number two, divorce and remarriage. It's rampant in our society, isn't it? Today, if you're against it, you're an old fuddy-duddy, aren't you? You're some kind of a religious zealot. Single-parent homes, there's tons of them in existence today. Absentee fathers. Latchkey children. Children who are left to fend for themselves. Some of them at the ages of 2 and 3 and 4 years old. Folks, can you imagine that? Mom or daddy locks the door at 6 or 7 in the morning, tells them, "I'll be back tonight around 9. You take care of yourself." 2 or 3 or 4 years old. That's just hard for us to imagine, but it's happening all over the United States of America. Living together arrangements. No discipline in the home. No religious instruction in the home. We find homes wherein there are homosexual and lesbians who are the parents. You don't think that confuses a child? More rights being given to children than to parents. Blows my mind to think a child can divorce his parents. I didn't even know they were married. But it's the truth. It can happen, you know it. The government has now become parents to some of our children. And folks, what about the evil forces that are found within our homes that even Christians allow therein? Television, music, video games, internet. That's just to mention a few. Alcohol, drugs, sexuality. Folks, the list is unbelievable. And some of those things are found right in our own Christian homes, aren't they? And there are these precious little children growing up, being instructed, learning in those kind of environments. And everybody wants us to think every bit of that is just natural and normal now. And to a great extent it is, isn't it, in our society. Folks, we've got to do some changing in our thinking with regard to the home, don't we? Here's something that was interesting to me when I was studying this lesson. There was a time when God told the children of Israel that I'm going to take you into Babylonian captivity. You have been idolaters. You have been immoral. You have thrown me out as your God. You have trusted in the nations around you. You have not honored the Sabbaths. And so now for 70 years, you will enter into Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah was one of the prophets of that day. And listen to what he told Israel to do when they went into that foreign land. Are you ready? Take ye wives and bear sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons. And give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. That ye may increase and that ye may not diminish. Isn't that amazing? You are about to be taken into some of the worst times of your entire life. You're about to be separated from the temple of God. You're about to be taken from your homeland. But the one thing I want you to remain strong is the home. I find it interesting that he always says what? Take wives before you bear children. Or take husbands before you bear children. Folks, God understood that the family unit is extremely vital and important. And it was going to be even of their survival in the land of Babylon when they left Israel. Again, I wish we had more time to talk about it. But there's some things our homes desperately need, don't they? Number one, there needs to be the proper understanding of the roles of men and women in the home, Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Number two, we need to understand as parents that we must rid our homes of those evil influences. You don't leave that up to your children to make that decision. You rid your home of that, Proverbs 4, 15 and 16. And we need to make dead certain that in our homes, God and His holy and divine Word is taught diligently to our children. Deuteronomy 6, 9, or 6 through 9. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. We got to turn off the televisions. We got to quit being so busy. We got to quit doing all of this other junk. And we got to get our Bibles out and teach that book to our young people, folks. If we don't, somebody else will teach our children. And it has been the bane of our nation to a great extent. Point number three. Why is it that evil runs so rampantly and so quickly through our nation? Because there are very few deterrents from evil, folks. Isn't that true? You become a criminal. You live a criminal life. And guess what you have? No fear. No fear. What are the punishments most criminals receive in our society today? Probation? A penalty? A few days, a few months, maybe a few years in prison? And when you're there, what do you get? You get 3 squares, don't you? Good meals. Used to have a prison ministry when we were in Paris, Tennessee. Went into that prison, and guess what? They was watching football. Monday night football, Thursday night football, man. Right there in jail. Unbelievable. And they were snacking on snacks. I went, where'd you get them snacks? Standing in a corner smoking a cigarette. Where'd you get money for that $5 pack of cigarettes? In prison. Had all the kind of recreation time that they desired. Got to go outside. May even have a nice gym to play in some of our bigger facilities. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, but Vic, it's different with those individuals who are on death row. Really? You want to know how long it takes from the time a person is sentenced until the time a person is executed? In the United States, the average time, 10 years. That's average, 10 years. There are people on death row right now who have been sentenced, who've been waiting for their execution for 20 years. You want to know the longest person who has ever lived between sentencing and death? A man who lived 36 years from the time he was sentenced until the time he was executed. I can almost see him walk in and they look at him and say, what are we killing you for? He said, I don't even remember. That's a long time, folks, isn't it? 3 verses for you to think about. Number one, Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. I just find that's an interesting verse from the wisest man who ever lived other than Jesus Christ. He says, because we do not carry out the execution in a very speedy, quick manner, then the hearts of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. So what if I murder? So what if I rape? I'll stay alive until I die of old age anyway. No fear whatsoever. Genesis 9 verse 6 is the second passage. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Those our God has instituted the death sentence if it need be carried out. Individuals look at me and say, oh, V, death sentence doesn't work. It's not really a deterrent. Oh, let me tell you what. In my house, my daddy deterred me from a lot of evil. You know that? Because I knew what was going to happen if I engaged in that evil. There was going to be discipline. It was going to be stern, quick, and severe. I knew that. Anybody tell me to go do something? Not this kid. Folks, you have a man commit murder today. You try him in the next 2 or 3 days, and you hang him on a pole. By the end of the week, guess what? You'll start deterring some of this criminal behavior in our society today. Think the death penalty don't work? I find it interesting that Abimelech didn't think so. He didn't think that. Do you know that? Remember Isaac went down with Rebekah to Gerar there in Genesis chapter 26? He lied about who Rebekah is. Oh, she's my sister. And he found out otherwise when he saw the two sporting with one another, doing things that only husbands and wives do. And old Abimelech was taken back, wasn't he? Why didn't you tell me? She is your wife. Somebody here could have lay with her, and all kinds of ungodly things could have happened. And listen to what Abimelech said in verse 11 of Genesis 26. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, touch not this man nor his wife, or ye shall surely be put to death. Far as I know, nobody in Gerar touched Isaac or Rebekah. Why? Because the death penalty is a deterrent, folks. It can work if it's implemented properly. You see, there are no deterrents, or very few deterrents, in our society today. Point number four. Why is it in our society that evil runs rampant and so quickly? Because we have created an evil environment in which to live, haven't we? It blows my mind to listen to people talk in society, doesn't it, you? Curse every two or three, four words or cuss words. And they act like it's just part of who they are. That's just how they talk. Every one of us knows how sexual our society is, don't we? It just blows your mind. Everything revolves around sex, doesn't it? We talk about sin and we act like sin is no longer sin anymore, don't we? We've already mentioned homosexuality and lesbianism, and we act like that's okay now. There's nothing wrong with that. Violence fills the movie screen. Violence fills video games. Violence fills music that our children are listening to. And here's the attitude that we've taken. Christians, well, that's the society we live in, and we just have to accept it. Or we'll say something like this. Well, yeah, I know all that stuff's horrible and all that stuff's bad, Vic, but you know what? It doesn't affect me. Really? Folks, this evil environment in which we live affects us in at least four ways. Number one, we are desensitized to how bad it is. Aren't we? We can see things that we used to could see and would blush, and we don't blush anymore. We're desensitized to it. We can hear things that used to make us angry, and guess what? It doesn't make us angry anymore. You see, we've been desensitized to it. Number two, we tolerate it, don't we? There's no doubt about that. We tolerate it. Number three, it can cause us to be participants within it. The more we're around it, the more it affects us. And eventually, we may think, well, you know, this really isn't so bad. I think I'll just do it. And I know the fourth one's true. Because we live in such a society, and because we have tolerated it, and because we have become so desensitized to it, it's almost taboo to say anything against it, isn't it? You see, we have withdrawn in fear from taking a stand in opposition to the evil that is in our society today. What does the Bible say? Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. The Bible tells us very plainly in Galatians 6 verse 9 that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here's something that was interesting to me. Here we are as Christians. We've deceived ourselves into thinking that we can live in this evil world and that we can associate with it, participate in some of it, and it not hurt us. Here's my question to you, church. Why did God establish the church then? Why? What is the church? The definition is simple, isn't it? The called out. We as Christians are the called out ones. God, by means of the gospel, has called us out of an evil world and has placed us into a spiritual group of individuals known as the church. Folks, if the evil isn't going to hurt us, if the evil isn't going to affect us, if there's nothing wrong by being engaged with all that stuff, why did God form the church? I'll tell you why. He knew we needed to be separated from it. Didn't he? Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath called us out of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." 1 Peter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, an holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him," now listen, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Folks, we've been separated from the world. Why? If it's not going to hurt us, if it's not going to do anything to us, if it's not going to tarnish us in any way, if we can live with it, why would God establish this group of individuals known as the church? "For ye are children of the light and children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5. Folks, God understood this evil environment that we live in, if we don't separate ourselves from it, can drastically impact us. No, we're not surprised that evil exists. But we are surprised how quickly and rampantly it's at work in our society. It's almost as if there are no reins and no harnesses whatsoever that's been placed upon it. My friends, we've got to de-secularize our society. You know that? We've got to get God back in it somehow. Number two, we've got to strengthen the home, and we've got to do it in the way that God desires it to be done. We have got to be individuals who understand that it is a terrible environment in which we live, and we're going to do everything we can to clean that environment up and make it a good environment for individuals. And folks, I hope that we as a nation will learn that we need to place some strong deterrence upon all those individuals who commit evil in our nation. I'll guarantee you this. We will never, ever eliminate all evil in our society. It's not going to happen. All we can do is slow it down and get rid of it in certain places, but we'll never get rid of it all. Someone asked on one occasion, what is the best deterrent for evil in our nation? And it's this: it's for me to be good, and for you to be good, and the next person to be good, and the next person to be good. And the more good we can create, my friends, the more evil is going to be exterminated. And it all begins with obedience to the gospel of Christ. When God looks down upon this planet and he sees individuals who are not Christians, folks, he doesn't see good people. Did you know that? He sees evil people. He sees people lost in sin. Oh, people he loves, people he wants to redeem, but evil, because they are of the evil one. Don't leave this building today lost. Put on the gospel of Christ. Obey it. Do you believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Will you repent of sins, confess his precious name, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins? We want you to do that today. Maybe you're an erring child of God, and you've been a participant in some of the evil that exists, and there's sin in your life, and you need to ask God to forgive you. Won't you do that? Do you need to respond as together we stand and as we sing?